Hi, this is Billie Eilish, and you're listening to Jonah Radio, and it's hosted by Bad Guy.
If this gonna be that kind of party, I'm gonna stick my dick in the mashed potato.
Neil, girl! Out here, just a little bit stranger.
We better
trip without danger.
Get off the cross, dude.
It gets a lot colder.
Hang with your friends.
I got shoulder.
Game over.
Construct ground for it.
I don't understand. It's just fun.
In defense of Coldplay.
It's a good party.
What do we know about partying or anything else?
Neil, problem with the Billie Eilish?
I don't know. I'm a big fan.
Sure. I don't understand.
That Bad Guy song is a really good song.
Yeah. I don't. So what do these have to do with one or the other?
I don't know. I just don't like you mocking her.
I wasn't. Huh? I also did Norm Macdonald. Do you think I don't like Norm Macdonald?
Well, he owes me $7,000 because of a football bet.
Yeah. I just like it. I just like how I do something kind of on the spot. Then I just have to hear Neil going, "Mraggle, fraggle, braggle."
I don't think that improv was well thought out.
Oh, really? The thing I just came up with wasn't well thought out? Okay, good. Good to know that the thing
I guess I'm the bad guy.
Oh.
Hey, wait a minute. Thematic. That's insulting to my fucking wife, Billie Eilish. That's my Neil impression. Should we start with that one instead?
Fresh out of the box. Hot out of the box.
I don't need this. I don't need to like be judged in the middle of an impromptu impression by Neil, who's still like,
you apparently don't need to show up to the podcast either until 3.5 hours later.
No one Neil was the only one that said noon then, and then no one else said anything.
I believe I said yeah, but
Cash suggested noon. I confirmed by saying so noon then, and then crickets.
And then what?
I don't have the crickets in the drops. I'm sorry. I'll make a note to get those for next week.
Okay,
damn, dude. Well, I texted your wife because I was like,
yeah,
something must be wrong.
Yeah, I'm looking at the text. Cash did not say noon. This is what it'll do. It says, so Neil says, so noon, or, and then the next time any text was sent was Neil at noon today saying, "What's the scoop, big shoots?" And then that was immediately.
It was kind of a reference to, we were talking about how big his butthole was just right above that. I don't know.
Yes.
You probably didn't want to leave that in.
No, I'll talk about the dildo that you found, the 7-inch diameter.
Well, it says it's novelty, right? In the text message, it says it's a novelty one.
Yes.
It's not one that's supposed to be taken serious. It's of a novelty size.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How's it going?
You know that sketch party group that meets up at that bar once
in a
while?
Drink and draw sort of thing.
Yeah, drink and draw thing. I went to that their Christmas party one year, and that guy Chris found in a drawer, because the bar is like a used to be like a kind of like a leather daddy type bar. He found in a drawer this enormous like rubber like forearm with a hand.
Yeah, we're all familiar.
And the hand is like kind of like making like you would make like a to do like a hand puppet, like
like sort of a duck sort
yeah,
of a
duck
hand
go
thing.
Kind of
yeah.
thing.
Yeah,
and I guess it was like a sex toy, but it was like the size of like an adult man's arm.
Well, Neil, there must have been clearly some other ideas of what it could have been before you guys landed on sex toy. You still seem unsure.
No, it's I've heard about that. They're in gentlemen's bars and they're for slapping if you want to like
duel.
It's a sanitary way of starting a duel. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they have those just in case a duel breaks out, and they're like, "We don't want you to touch."
Because no one wears gloves anymore, but now people do wear gloves, so maybe we can go back to the glove thing.
Yeah, yeah, that's one thing that we're going to get out of this. Mm-hmm. Hey, remember that positives of COVID-19 list we were starting? You can put that on there.
Yeah,
yeah.
My garden planter box is top of that list.
Ooh,
my succulents are going bananas.
Bananas aren't succulents.
They're going bananas.
Oh. Wait, so they're turning into bananas?
No, they're like just going nuts.
So do you have...
Oh, you planted nuts.
Well, I mean, technically, bananas are the nuts of banana trees, I think.
I wonder if you could grow a banana tree in Los Angeles.
I've seen a banana tree in Los Angeles.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Let's go get some bananas.
Well, I mean, it's
nature's antidepressant.
Is it really? Is it the potassium?
You can get one of those pulp. No, there's some other chemical in there that's like an actual like
niacin. Is that it? Niacin.
That's probably good too. the sneak laugh of Cash is this week's antidepressant.
Yeah. Is someone playing with something? There's like
doing shit.
Okay.
No, I'm pretty still. Okay. It might be Glee from two rooms over.
No, it's like a rubbing sound. Did anyone hear that? It might be my headphones. I just kind of like hear like a
could be.
Yeah.
I'm going to touch my microphone here.
Cash, are you rubbing your beard against the microphone?
I am not. I'm pretty straight.
What's that?
I hear that. Like it sounds like a salt shaker.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was me moving the microphone, but now has it stopped?
Yes.
Okay. I will hold it like this and not move.
Well, this is going great.
Yep. I'm waiting on a COVID test.
Oh, you didn't get it?
Yeah. No, not yet. My wife did. We got tested about the same, one after the other, but she got down. But apparently the website is down, which is cool because, you know, websites being down.
So you got the full Q-tip to the back of the brain through the nose?
Yeah. Yeah, I got punched in the center of my head for a second.
Does it hurt?
It's not that bad. No, it is weird, but it's like... Of all the weird, painful things that you've been told, oh, this is not going to hurt very much, this is pretty low. Like, I don't like a shot a lot less than I don't like this.
Oh, yeah. I'll take a shot.
I think I'm on the wrong scale, but yeah. It's fine. It's just a second. And then, like I was telling Neil, it's like, it kind of like, because it goes down a path that you're not really aware that you have. Like, you're aware of nostrils and stuff like that, but just this, like, straight shooter back into your brain. So the weirdest thing is it makes you aware of it for a little while. Is sort of like, oh, I didn't know that was a place I could feel almost, feel anything. But, yeah, it's fine. They're very nice and very polite. No signs up. That was a problem.
My buddy Scott used to do it as like a party trick. Like,
well, that's where you put the nail, right? Like, isn't that like a freak show?
Yeah. Hammer. Yeah. Yeah. He would do it. He would do it with like a Bic pen and just like, scoop, and then just like, ugh.
There's another thing for the list of
every time.
Things we get out of this COVID-19 is people are going to start using their face pockets more and more after this. Cause they're aware of them now.
You can hide your joint up there.
White collar prison wallet.
Yeah, buddy.
White collar prison wallet.
Oh, well. Well, Cash, so why don't you play us a song?
Okay. This is a submission. This is the band called Quick Fix with a song called Punk's Not Dead, But I Wish I Was.
Oh, yeah. Dystopian. Did I do now? It's just so fake here. I see myself now.
Hey guys, Cash back at you with a brand new sponsor, somebody I'm very excited about because I do use their product. It's Harry's Razors. Guys, I've been working during this pandemic at a local grocery store, and if you've seen pictures of me in the past, I do tend to rock a very full beard. Well, that doesn't work extremely well when you have to wear a mask 8 hours a day. So I've had to sort of make a new choice with my facial hair. I still have a beard, but it's a lot more close cropped. I can wear the mask over. It's a lot easier to breathe. I kind of like trim down my mustache. So it's still a good mustache, but it's not like pushing out. So I don't have to breathe through it as hard. And I couldn't have done it without Harry's.com. Because Harry sent me this razor kit that really let me sort of find my new facial hair. And let's face it, if you're not going out every day, you might be bored. Facial hair is a hell of a project to keep you happy. You grow long, you cut down, who knows where you're going to end up. Well, times are tough right now, and Harry's is still here to help you look your best while saving you a little cash along the way. Whether it's business on the top, PJs on the bottom, Harry's has the grooming needs covered with high-quality blades as low as $2 each, delivered straight to your doorstep, so you don't have to go out style. So, yeah, this is Harry's has been really good to me because it keeps me, you know, I have to keep it short in order to breathe well, and but I do still like a little bit of trim, a little bit of growth. So I got a Harry's trial set delivered to me a couple months back. I did not get the chance to go to harrys.com/Jonah like you can. That's harrys.com/Jonah. They've been working with a German blade factory that's been honing their precision blades for a century, which means you get incredibly high quality blades at a factory direct prices. Harry's is super convenient with blade refills delivered directly to your door on your schedule. You can feel a little better about it during this challenging time. 1% of proceeds are set aside for nonprofit organizations devoted to helping provide access to better health care for men and veterans and to help support those who need it the most right now. Harry is donating $1 million worth of shaving supplies to hospitals across the U.S. Listeners of this show can redeem their Harry's trial set at harrys.com/Jonah. Sign up. You'll get a weighted ergonomic handle for a firm grip, a 5-blade razor with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel with aloe to keep your skin hydrated. That is actually really great right now. And a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry and easy to grab on the go. Went on a little trip right before this started. Brought my Harry's razor just to touch up right before the event. It was great. Well, go to harrys.com/Jonah to start shaving better today with the choice of me, Harry.
Wow, that was fucking great.
Yeah, it was. Once again, that's Quick Fix off of Out of Order with Punks Not Dead. You can find them over on Bandcamp if you like. That was great.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. It's I've been reading the past few days. Ben Getting lent me this book a while back called How to Ruin a Record Label, and it's by Larry Livermore, the guy who started Lookout Records. And so I've been listening to like a lot of old Lookout stuff while reading it. So it's been a lot of fun.
Oh, that's fun.
It's neat. It's just because like it's so funny that the guy that like started the seminal pop punk label and also like helped start, you know, the Gilman Street venue, Gilman Street Project. Stop moving the mic. Or maybe it's my headphones are too loud.
I think it might be your headphones, but he ruined the record label.
Well, he started.
It sounds like he was pretty.
Yeah, but then they ended up like crashing and burning. So that's why it's the guy was from Detroit. He was kind of like he was like 40 years old in like 1988 or 89 or something like that. So he was just kind of like this kind of he used to be like a hippie and lived in a place called Spy Rock, which I guess is north of the Bay Area, like more towards Humboldt. Mm-hmm. And like it's just so weird that this like hippie guy was like responsible for all these incredible scene.
Yeah,
gnarly.
Because Op Ivy was on Lookout. Green Day released their first album on Lookout.
The first two albums, the first few first, releases. Yeah,
yeah.
And the first No, Dookie was their major label. So it was Kerplunk before that, and then 1039 Smoothed Out Sloppy Hours, which was like a couple releases in one. Oh. But yeah, it's a real interesting real interesting book and real fun read so far. I also was watching a because I can't, I don't want to pay for the, I don't want to, like, you have to, like, I can't watch that, the Agnostic Front documentary that Neil was telling us about a while back,
mm-hmm.
because it's only, like, available through Stars, I think. And I don't want to get a subscription to that. So it's like I found some other terrible hardcore New York hardcore documentary on Amazon. And it's all the same stuff that I wanted to see. It's like, remember you were fucking you did the way you would mash over here at the 7A.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
And it's just two guys looking around.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And they're just like looking around. And there, I watched some other doc too, I think called Ride on the Dance Floor, and it's about City Gardens venue in New Jersey, which is like, it's mm-hmm. like the guy who booked that and kind of created that scene out there. And there's a couple snippets of a phone interview with Jon Stewart from The Daily Show, because he was a bartender there.
Yeah, I remember hearing wow. about that, and a yeah, legendary place.
Yeah, yeah.
There and was that's of course why he had Fear on The Daily Show, and then they got trashed the stage and got thrown out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're thinking of Saturday Night Live and John Belushi and yeah.
No, I think it was Jon Stewart.
No, you're confusing.
It was Jon Stewart, legendary, legendary.
Early onset on.
No, it's because Jon Stewart had the character where he was the he was
Bumblebee.
He was like a bumblebee samurai that sold cheeseburgers, and then like
Well, he and Craig Kilborn had that famous two-man act too, where they would do those old songs together.
Five Questions.
Sunglasses.
That was Five Questions.
Yes, Five Questions.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Five Questions blues band.
Yes.
yeah.
Cash.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you what time it is, and I'm going to wonder if there's a
hold
song.
Hold on. The cat's in front of the – there's a – the cat is in front of the clock. Hey. Hey, move. Hey. Hold on, I gotta get up.
Oh boy.
All right. Okay, now I can see the clock.
On entertainment.
Uh-huh.
What time is it, Cash?
I'm using news.
So I'm assuming you didn't get the song yet.
No. That's also going on the list.
A couple questions. What is this?
6 weeks into this shit.
Neil's holding up his side of the show, which is
showing like up on time.
All right. It is time for music news. Neil, go ahead.
This week in music news. That's all I got.
Oh.
Okay, great.
You didn't get that?
There is so, no you know, fucking music news.
We were talking recently about, last week, about Axl Rose from, Guns N' Roses. And, and how he was like calling out Steve Mnuchin and whatnot, but they just put out a new Guns N' Roses shirt that is a reference to when Trump went to the meatpacking place and he wasn't wearing a mask and and all that stuff, and they were blaring "Live and Let Die" on the on the speaker. So Guns N' Roses just put out a shirt that says "Live and Let Die with COVID-45." Guns N' Roses.
COVID 40. Oh, 45 meaning Trump.
Yes.
Yes.
Nice.
Nice little swipe. Him. Yeah. Yeah. Got him. yeah. It is fun though. Even if it's like it's a silly little gesture. I do like it when when a band like that will come out and who probably have a lot of, right wing, Trump supporting fans. And that's the same thing where it's even recently.
Yeah.
Recently when Howard Stern even said he's like the people who are fans of me in this show are people who also support Trump. And I want to tell you, you're dumb.
That's wow. It's admirable, I guess. Admirable.
Yeah. It's surprising it took this long, but I guess, you know, it's better than nothing.
Yeah. I mean, this is kind of who they should have gone to before is like, if you can get Axl Rose will change minds. Like at this point, like there are people out there that are like, fuck it. If Axl doesn't like it. And those are people that were going to vote for him anyway. So
yeah. Cash, do you have like a mic stand you could use maybe?
Yes.
What the fuck is going on?
I'm sorry. Is that better?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. The thing you talked about how
doing
it made
what you were doing.
Yes.
Yeah. It's better when you're not doing that thing that you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It hurts when I do this, Doc. Well, you know how we talked about how Mark Lanegan from Screaming Trees in his book kind of attacked, you know, brought up the feud.
Big tough guy. Big tough
guy calling out Liam Gallagher. I guess like he said in another interview about the book, he says the book doesn't reflect how I actually feel about Gallagher now. I see his clips on Twitter now and it makes me laugh. He's kind of an eccentric old uncle.
That's good. Congratulations on getting over it, dude.
Yeah. Sweet backpedal, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds like somebody got called who when this thing broke last week and he's sort of like, "Yeah, but I'm still cool, guys."
I think it just you know, that's a big thing we were talking about last time, just like coming out and being like, "He was a pussy." Like, you know, like he didn't want to fight. It's not really, we don't live in a culture like that would celebrate that as much anymore. The people who would buy books.
Yeah. How old is the book? Is the book new?
That's why all this stuff is coming. Cause he just wrote the book. That's why he's doing all these interviews. Oh, that's where geez. That's where all this information is coming from. We talked about it last week.
Well, you have to admit that the Screaming Trees fandom has only grown, and so he's taking advantage of the perfect time to put this book out. He's just fuck yeah, like,
you know, I'll tell you,
respond to the market, dude.
You know, I'll tell you, I know the name Screaming Trees, and if you said, oh, it's they have that song, I'd be like, oh yeah, I know that song, but for the life of me, I can't think of off the top of my head what their famous song is.
I nearly lost you.
Oh really? I nearly lost you there.
Yeah,
that's not a good song.
I can't even think it. Is
it like two giant?
I
like,
nearly lost you there.
Like two giant dudes that were like brothers that played guitar and bass.
Oh yeah, were they grungy?
They were a part of that grunge sweep. Front man. And then Lanegan was the front man, and he was like the super skinny white dude. And in the grunge scene, they were kind of like they were like. They're kind of like a more popular Mudhoney.
Hmm.
No, they don't sound anything like Mudhoney. Mudhoney's like garagey.
Yeah, they were too.
I mean, I nearly lost you there. I would not say that sounds like a. I wouldn't say they sound anything alike.
That was their like radio play kind of hit song.
Yeah,
but the rest of it was like a little more jangly and raw.
Oh, really?
Well, his book has worked. We have now talked about Screaming Trees. 10,000
Screaming Trees.
Amounts. The Screaming Trees.
Yeah. Noel Gallagher opened up.
Oh, wait, no. Mudhoney was in the... It wasn't Tommy Boy. What's the other Chris Farley, David Spade movie?
Black Sheep.
Black Sheep. Yeah, Mudhoney was in that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And the like the Rock the Vote concert that at the end.
Right.
Yeah. And Ween is in It's Pat the Movie.
That's right.
I did not know that one.
Everyone in the audience gets to see the gender of Pat.
At a Ween show?
Yeah, it's like for some reason, I don't remember how it all works out, but I just remember that Pat descends from the top of the stage, completely naked, and the shot of the cameras from like from the back of the stage, so you just see Pat's butt come into the shot, and then you just see kind of everyone in the crowd kind of go, oh, I don't know the events that transpired to that.
You just remember moment. The set piece. You don't remember the moment, the, how they got there.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Like, I know there's that a moment in... I think it'd fly even more so.
No, just like the whole idea of like the comedy value of not knowing someone's gender. It's not PC.
Thanks, Dennis Miller.
Hey, choo-choo.
Yeah.
Oh, he's great, babe.
Well, the circle jerks are in, what's it? The Repo Man. That's one I know.
I don't think that's the circle jerks, is it?
Yeah, Jello Biafra was in the circle jerks, right?
No, that was the Dead Kennedys. Yeah. I don't think neither of those bands are in Repo Man.
Hey, everybody. It's Cash with totally not covering for a tech problem. And I wanted to take this time to talk to you guys about BlueChew.com. If you like sex, you'll love BlueChew.com. BlueChew.com offers men a performance enhancement for the bedroom. Now, every guy has performance issues at some point in their life. And, you know, after coming out of this lockdown and maybe seeing some people, maybe the stress is getting to you. So why don't you take some BlueChew.com chewable tablets? The chewables can work faster. And BlueChew, you get the same chewables in with the active ingredients, Cilindafil or Tadalafil, which are the same active ingredients and the big V or the big C. BlueChew.com affiliated physicians work with you to find the dosage and active ingredient that is best for you. Chewables can work faster, as I was saying. The chewables from BlueChew.com can be taken on a full or empty stomach. Online physician consult is free, so it's cheaper than the other two. And it only takes you a few minutes to connect with BlueChew.com affiliated physicians. And if you qualify, you get prescribed online quickly. No in-person doctor visits, no awkward conversation, no waiting in line at a pharmacy. It ships directly to your door in discreet packaging. And the chewables from BlueChew.com are made in the USA. American jobs, people. Making you hard for making the working hard at making you hard. Yeah. BlueChew.com gives you confidence in bed every time. You and your partner will love it. Chew it and do it. And there is a great deal for you guys. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first order free when you use the promo code Jonah with a J, not a B. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code Jonah. Back to the show.
Okay.
I have to go back to work. I'm essential.
Cash, give me...
I'm dining out on that, guys.
I'm sure you are. Give me that lick, Cash. Give me that lick. That's right. It's time to continue on with more music news.
Oh, it is not the same.
It's music and news. It's music and news. It's musical news. Yeah, 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 news and news.
$5 to whoever can tell me who that cover is by.
Guns N' Roses.
It's Bell and Sebastian.
Speaking of covers, I don't know if you guys know this, but Built to Spill put out a Daniel Johnston cover album.
Hi, oh, how really? Are you?
Yeah. yeah, so it's Doug Marsh said, we started doing a... We started doing a ton of covers when... No, that's no good. When we switched rhythm sections a few years back.
I appreciate the effort on that one, though.
You know, the thing is, it's hard to do a Doug Marsh impression because he always doubles his vocals. So, Cash, whoever edits this, Neil, what you got to do is just like double up my vocals there. And then it'll sound just like Doug Marsh. Finally decided. And by decide, I mean accept. Now just double those up and it's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I will put that on the list for when we send this out to post.
Oh, great. Great, great, yeah. Great, great.
Yeah. It's like sending someone out to hang.
I remember when I went and saw Built to Spill and at the Fonda Theater in Hollywood, and I was kind of waiting for the bathroom, and then Bob Odenkirk walked in and saw me, and he walked up to me, he's like hey buddy, how's it going? I was like, oh, it's good. And he's like, is Doug around? And I was just like, in my head I was just like, what? Oh, and then I said out loud, Doug Benson? I don't think he's here. And he was like, no, Doug Marsh. Oh, I'll find him. And then he just walked backstage.
Oh, man. That's a good Bob story. He just assumes that everybody knows the dude from the band.
In other Mr. Show news, I spent all day yesterday, or no, Tuesday, working on a graphic for their little live show. And then 8 a.m. on Wednesday. Yeah, they're not going to use it. Very Bob. Notes. Never mind.
Yeah. Mike Mitchell, when we were trying, when we were working on Hidden America, and we were trying to think of a legal weed sketch for the Denver episode, like, Mitch was listening. He's like, no, that concept is haunted. Bob had like an idea from like one of his, like, I think from one of his sketch pilots, I think from the next show, where they were going to try and do like a legal weed sketch, and they never figured it out. And then he was trying to do it again when they were working on the Birthday Boys, both seasons. Like, they always had a thing up that like legal weed sketch. And it's just like, so many different versions, and they could never do it. And then, and so Mike Mitchell was very, very against doing a legal weed sketch. He's like, it's cursed. It's a cursed premise.
Not for me. Me and Jake sold a pilot to Comedy Central and never even had to like make it.
No, you sold a napkin to Comedy Central.
Yeah. Well, no, we had to write three scripts, but we did it.
But that's not,
it was 420 Green Street, right?
I mean, it could have been a sketch. We stretched it out. But we stretched it out into three scripts.
I have yet to see a funny one.
I wrote weed sketches for not Doug Stanhope. Well, who's the other guy?
Doug Benson?
No, he's like a Vegas comedian. The Love Master or something is his alter ego name. Anyway, he made like a National Lampoon's pot movie, and me and Joe Wagner wrote a bunch of weed sketches, which is to say I wrote a bunch of weed sketches. And Joe and I handed them in. And Stephen Tobolowsky was in one of them. He was like legal weed farmer.
Oh, I remember that thing.
Cash, why don't you watch my show?
Speaking of Miss, I didn't have voodoo.
It's voodoo is accessible by anyone, brother.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Anyway, Neil, what were you gonna say?
I have not seen the Denver episode. I will say that.
Yeah.
I've seen most of the other ones. Speaking of the Mr. Show. I didn't know this was actually part of the Mr. Show thing, but Weird Al Yankovic posted something this week.
How come you're always such a fussy young man?
Don't want no Cap'n Crunch, don't want no Raisin Bran.
Well, you don't know that other kids are starving in Japan, so eat it.
Just eat it.
Don't want to argue, I don't want to debate. Don't want to hear about the kind of food you hate.
You won't get no dessert till you clean up your plate. So eat it.
I don't care if you're full, just
eat it.
beat it. Get yourself an egg.
And beat it.
All right.
Have some more
okay.
chicken.
Yeah. All right. So that, was, of course, was.
I wasn't asked.
Well, it wasn't Al's. That's probably why you weren't asked. And oh, yeah, you did blow that Doug thing for Bob a couple years ago, so they yeah. probably weren't looking at you.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, so that was it was like David Cross, Sarah Silverman, Bob Odenkirk, barely doing it.
not quite sure of the lyrics.
Yeah, Michael McKean, Rhea, what's her name? Rhea Seahorn? From Better Call Saul.
Rhea, yeah, Seahorn, yeah, from Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
Jack Black Pat, does some.
Paul Scheer's, yeah.
Paul Scheer, very like that. There's even though it is a send up of everything else, you can still make the same sort of judgments. You could have of the Imagine video where Paul Scheer very clearly knows all the lyrics back to front. And Bob mm-hmm. Odenkirk has never heard of the song before.
What is it?
Apparently, it's cool, buddy.
Daffy Mal Yankin Yankle.
Yeah. Allison Pill from fucking Goon and Goon 2.
Yeah.
Yes.
And David Cross's wife literally next to where he was sitting on the couch. Where it's very funny. Clearly they swapped. They're like, all right, I'll do it. And then you just come sit where I'm sitting and you do it.
That's funny.
And Al closes it out from his backyard, and such a wide shot, I feel like I could drive to his house.
he's up in the hills.
Put a geo tracker.
Yeah, that's the problem. Is you can pick which hill, but there's so many roads up there, you can never pick the right one.
Yeah. Recently, the Texas Rangers announced that they're going to do a concert in your car series in their stadium parking lot at Globe Life Park in Arlington. A concert in your car is a concert series taking place in Tundra Lot B, just north of Globe Life Field, featuring nationally recognized recording artists. The event is designed to give music fans the live show experience while still maintaining social distancing. Think concert meets a drive-in movie.
That's not a bad idea.
But that's still a whole crew that's got to go to work and be near each other. But it's outside. Yeah. It's outside, so that should be make it a bit easier. So far,
I mean, you don't have to have like the interaction with, you know, 40,000, you know, randoms coming through a gate or something. You know, yeah, a stage crew, you guys do it right. You know,
yeah. Well, we talked about this drive-in idea when I was stoned and on text a couple of weeks ago about like the idea.
It's always an out of nowhere. Me and Neil get dropped into the middle of a thought.
Yeah,
like you might as well start some of these texts with like an ellipses and like it's just like dot dot dot, and that's why I think. It's a good idea. What's a good idea? The drive-in.
Well, you know, I had a compelling thought, and you know, I knew you guys were up. But like the drive-in thing is great until you get to bathroom, and like unless you're gonna pass out like Arizona iced tea bottles with like the wide neck when you drive in, it's not gonna happen.
Oh, look at you, big shoots, wide neck.
Hey man, I got 18 months as a Lyft driver. I know how to pee in a bottle.
I like what are you, Neil? Just like it's, you can you easily go into a straw? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, what are you doing? Cans? That's sharp edges there, buddy.
I just like the framing of the whole thing as being like, oh well, you clearly need a wide neck bottle.
Well, to be safe and clean.
Yeah, you don't want to touch the edges, especially if the reds are sharp.
When I went to the drive-in, they like you know they kept the doors open so you're able to just walk in and use the bathroom. And like it's like with the people who are there, like if someone was inside by themselves, like someone would wait outside, and then once that person left, you would go inside. So it still works. Yeah. The you know Yeah, but like,
how many stations? How many stalls?
There was like four, but it's, you know, not a lot of people there.
That's reasonable.
Yeah.
So I'm just picturing like sports stadiums where there's like 37,000 fucking shitters and 20,000 urinals. One at a time doesn't make much sense.
That's not at a Pomona drive-in movie theater. Or are you talking about like the?
I think he's talking Dodger about Stadium like the. Dodger Stadium. There's one they're doing at the baseball stadium.
But they're not doing it in the stadium. They're doing it in the parking lot. And I'd imagine they'll probably end up doing, if anything, porta potties that they'll like. You know, I guess I don't know. Like just sanitize between each use.
Yeah. Maybe there'll be something. I'm looking at Live Nation is doing the same thing. They're starting to do empty room concerts that are just broadcast, and then they're going to do drive-in stuff too. Live Nation says that 90% of ticket buyers are choosing to keep their tickets and wait for a new show rather than get their money back, which is kind of crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I think that's probably with my favorite part of it. My
Letterkenny tickets.
That's true. That's just because I don't want to forget to get them again. I guess that's the thing for most people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also have fucking choice seats.
I'm sorry. What do you have?
Choice seats.
Oh, tack it.
Me and Horny Larry are going fucking the row G or whatever.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Wherever you go to with Horny Larry is a place to be. Here's my favorite part of this.
Yeah.
Live Nation thing. On Live Nation's investor earnings call, President and CEO Michael Rapino said the company would test crowdless broadcast of shows along with drive-in concerts and reduced capacity festival shows over the summer. This is his quote. Whether it's in Arkansas or a state that is safe, secure, and politically is fine to proceed in. So it's either Arkansas or a state that's safe. Whether we go with either of those.
Also, like, how do you do a fucking reduced capacity festival show where no matter how many people you let in, they're all going to fucking just coagulate at the front of the stage?
Well, it's also
the whole thing would look like a giant checkerboard. Ooh. You know, just taped off like little spots where it's like, you know how far away you are from everybody.
Yeah. That is so rock and roll.
It is so
That's the thing. It's like moving forward there, you know, they're talking about getting rid of like moshing, stage diving, and like making that, you know, finally Tipper Gore's wet dream come true. I'm just like no stage diving, no moshing.
So speaking of that, the Event Safety Alliance published a 29-page guideline for live music venues to follow once they reopen. After speaking with 400 people within the business, including promoters, managers, Ticketmaster employees, and more, patrons cannot all stand in front of the stage like they are accustomed. Moshing and crowd surfing are violations of social distancing, must be absolutely prohibited during the pandemic. Even hallways and smoking areas where patrons congregate will be monitored to enforce health. Hand washing every hour, as well as sneezing, mopping, smoking, eating, drinking are the selected activities. Sanitizing, staggering lines, and temperature screening for every concert.
Temperature screening for every concert? How the fuck are they going to do that?
They check your temperature as you come through the door. It was what China did really, really well, was they would have monitors on supermarkets, any place anybody would come in, and they do not a under the tongue, but one of those forehead things that gives you your temperature right away.
I had that when I was doing Baron Vaughn's show, where we were taping those, like when everything was starting to shut down. One of the days I got there, like I walked in and like I went straight to a nurse, and then she checked my temperature. Everyone coming in was getting their temperature checked. But then I heard someone ended up testing positive. I found that out like a week after, and I was fine. But
yeah,
kind of crazy.
I mean, like, it's like
they're like
they can do it with surveillance.
There's like a radar gun style, right? Like, there's like a they just point it at you, and then they can take your temperature that way.
Yeah, it's like they're a few inches away from your skin, but from your forehead. Yeah.
Well, they can also do it with surveillance with infrared now. Infrared's gotten so, you know, the predator view. They've gotten so good with that that they can tell you 4 or 5 degrees.
I run so hot, though, you know? I run so hot.
Yeah.
I'm a warm-blooded Leo.
We remember your 20s.
I'm a Leo. What? What does that mean?
I was like,
I ran hot?
Yeah, you ran hot. I remember your 20s.
I was sweating so much last week. I took my temperature because I was like scared, and my temperature was completely normal. It was just the fact that it was 90 fucking degrees outside and I hadn't put my air conditioning on.
Well, Brad Paisley.
And I lugged all those fucking hard drives to the recycler. I did it.
You did do it.
Neil, this is not podcast talk.
Well, there was music on those drives.
Years of CDUSA interviews are now being thrown away. Such a loss since the Universal Studios fire.
And in the early days where you had to like put CDs into your computer and then like rip them into iTunes, that hard drive now has a bullet hole through it and is in a junk heap in Glendale.
Oh. Jesus. You treat your hard drives like you treat your women.
No, I backed it up on a different one, but yeah.
What's up, Cash?
So Brad Paisley and Lady Antebellum are having full band concerts, streaming full band concerts. I don't know if they have any safety at all, but the Bud Light Seltzer Sessions is bringing it all together. Who had Bud Light Seltzer Sessions as the liberator of our people?
Bud Light, you know, I wonder how many Bud Light Seltzers they are selling in Wisconsin today at all the bars.
Oh, Jesus.
That's going to be their commercial. Oh. You're not going to let any government tell you what to do. That's right. That's why Bud Light Seltzer, you're not going to let anyone tell us we're not a beer or a hard seltzer. Be your own person. This is America. You're exceptional, every single one of you.
Now let's watch Brad Paisley make a bad decision and die.
I mean, I'm pretty – like, that's the thing.
You love corporations and White Claw?
I wonder if, like – I got so excited when I heard about, like, how many people were drinking those hard seltzers because I'm in a commercial for Truly that hasn't come out yet because it got finished right when everything started getting shut down. Mm-hmm. So me dancing in an elevator in a suit, holding a case of Truly hard seltzer, I don't think is going to be, you're not going to hear like a voiceover and seeing that me doing that with going in these uncertain times.
We're all in this together, just like this elevator.
I imagine there's like
this guy.
Go ahead.
No, that was it.
Yeah. Oh, I just imagine that there is one actor out there who just like could never got any work because he was too hangdog, and then these "We're All in It Together" commercials came out, and now he's booking every day. Just like, oh, you look sad, buddy. You. Bud Light Lime needs you.
Did you know this? Kurt Cobain, the guitar he played, one of the guitars he played for the MTV Unplugged, is going to be auctioned off. Now, this is almost a running theme of music news where every once in a while, something of Kurt Cobain's gets sold.
It was sort of
auctioned off. And I think the last time we did it, I think it was the sweater from the Unplugged session.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it was like the Freddy Krueger sweater.
No, it wasn't a striped sweater. It was just a kind of a, like, you know, fuzzy cardigan.
Oh, a cardigan, yeah.
Yeah, it kind of replaced he kind of replaced John Lennon that way.
Mm-hmm.
Of just like, oh, this is shit from his life. It's selling for a lot of money now.
Should I auction off the bra of Courtney Love's that I found in Edward Norton's couch?
You took that, Neil? You never told us about that.
Yeah, you just said you found it. You didn't say you took it home.
That was the thing I wrote on that napkin that I said, ask me about this in 10 years.
Oh, fuck. Oh, really?
Oh.
No.
I forgot about that. How long ago was that?
How much do you think it was at Islands is all I remember. How much do you think it's going to get auctioned off?
A guitar?
What do you think it's valued at?
I'd say it's probably six figures. $100,000.
No.
Six figs.
I think six figs. I'm going six figs.
Are you confirming $600,000?
I'm hearing $600,000. Do I hear $650,000?
No. He's saying
$100,000.
He's saying five zeros.
Oh, five zeros. I hear in 500,000. I don't know. It's 1 million. No.
It's $1 million?
$1 million fucking dollars? Jeez, yeah. Louises.
He's not still in there, is he? Did he like fall in? Is that why we haven't seen him? Like, if you get him with it, I could see $1 million.
Yeah.
Who the fuck's going to buy that? Like, that Pharma Bro guy that bought the Wu-Tang album?
He can't buy anything anymore, right? Everything gets seized and he's in prison?
I think he's out. Lobbying to, like, get a fucking job under Trump.
Cash, do you want to break for a song so we can go to a commercial?
Let's play a song. This is...
What do you got?
From a band called Select Sires.
Yes.
From a band, their EP, the Select Sires. They are from Milwaukee. It's two dudes. It's a guy named Joe Prussia and Jake McDonald. You might know Jake from Shoot Down the Moon, but Select Sires is better, according to them. And this is Woohoo.
Pasta spinning cushion.
All right.
What was that, Cash?
That was Select Sires. They sent it directly from their mixer to us, and that was Woohoo. It was a wave. They literally forwarded it. They forwarded an email that just says, "Hey, dude, here are the final masters for your EP," and then they just forwarded it. So you know,
that's great.
If you guys are looking that's for fucking great. A mixer, I have an email here.
That's solid, awesome. Man. Yeah, that's it's that was a good song, and also I love the way it was sent. I love
yeah,
I just forwarding.
I love that delivery system.
There's something so endearing about like a lack of try with some of the bands that submit.
Oh yeah, speaking of lack of try, I went on a Photoshop rampage of putting hats on Neil yesterday. And nothing delights me more than a terrible, terrible Photoshop. And I got to spend like an hour doing that yesterday. It's great. It's so much fun. Do it on your phone. You're not even like swiping through stuff. Yeah. Guys, terribly Photoshop some stuff.
Glad you had fun.
More music.
Cash is ready.
That was all spurred by the fact that I bought a cowboy hat online yesterday.
Now, Neil, is that because you saw a picture of me that I posted wearing a cowboy hat? Because you bought the hat right after I posted that picture.
You did do that.
Cash, are you smoking weed right now?
How's that COVID test?
Still waiting to hear back. Still waiting to hear back.
Cash.
I've been watching Friday Night Lights and Varsity Blues on a cycle for a few days. And
not even westerns, but like football movies.
No, yeah, Texas football movies. I was like, it seems like something that everyone should like have in case they need, you know.
Yeah, I like mine. I'm a big fan of my cowboy hat.
Neil, you will recognize that Jonah has had a cowboy hat longer. Therefore, if he shows up in the cowboy hat, you have to take yours off.
That's the rules.
No, because mine's very unique.
You guys cannot hang out with cowboy.
It's a very unique cowboy hat. It won't look like a cowboy hat, or it won't look like his.
What'd you get? You get like a Panama?
That is. No, it's called an Explorer.
Is it just a pith helmet?
No, it's more like in Deadwood, what's his nuts? The heartthrob mustache guy that shows up to town. It's more like his hat than a Hurst? Cowboy hat.
Oh, wow.
No, not cowboy Hurst.
Heartthrob.
Fuck you. No, not Star. The other guy. Fuck, what's his name? He used to do the weather on Indy 103. whatever.
He used to do the Timothy Oliphant?
Who did...
Oliphant, yeah, that's the guy.
He didn't do the weather. That was David Lynch did the weather.
Yeah, and then when he stopped doing it, Timothy Oliphant did it.
Oh, okay.
You're right. You're right. He did the Surf Report.
That's right. Well, good for him.
Here's some music news, guys. Last week we played a song by Pilau, which among the members was a comedian. Kevin Titt out of DC, and I thought it was something that our friend Vince Averill would enjoy, and so I sent it over to him, and he said, "This is great. Are they putting this out on the 7-inch?" I said, "I don't know. They just put it out digitally. I don't know what their plans are." I said, "Well, you should probably then maybe put it out on your label," and it looks like that Vince is going to be putting out that Pilau record.
That's awesome.
Hey,
send in your music and you might get 7 inches out of it.
Speaking of 7 inches.
What do you have to say about 7 inches?
I don't know. Is that dildo?
Oh yeah, that was also a seven involved there. Guys. I'm looking to guys. I don't know if this is going to wrap up music news, but if you were planning on taking a music cruise, it's not going to happen.
Music Cruise.
Kiss.
And then it's just a reggae version of The Boys Are Back in Town.
Kiss, Kesha, Melissa Etheridge tour, Coheed and Cambria's SS Neverender. All those cruises are all canceled. If you have tickets, you'll be able to go maybe next year. But yeah, the Kiss Cruise, which was going to be celebrating a 10th year, Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley both are crushed because they can't make any money.
Oh no, they're making money. There's no way they're refunding anyone. They're going to keep all that money and just not go.
One of the last cruises that was out there was the JoCo cruise. I know Mike Kaplan was on it and a bunch of people. I know they had some cancellations, but Hodgman was out there and stuff like that. So they did get it in right before it went down, but it does.
Travis McElroy told me about when he was like, cause you don't get reception when you're out there on those cruises. And so he heard about it kind of like, it's like, oh, this looks kind of crazy, but I don't know, it'll be fine. And then they get on the cruise ship, and then like 4 days goes by as they get back, and it's just like, everything's shut down. He said it was really surreal. Wow.
Well, you can rent a rowboat and bring a boombox if you're really missing music cruises. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think go to your local public park with a fake lake and mm-hmm. get on a swan boat with a mm-hmm.
there you go.
Earbuds.
Are those you can get on a swan boat? Are they still running swan boats, Neil?
Actually,
I drove by
the other day. They were all tied up.
This might be the
ideal time for me to actually do that.
I think you should.
I don't think you can.
I think he should whittle together a boat and just take it down there. That should be his.
Yeah, I should cut some ropes and just fucking go rogue.
Yes. And our last bit of music news, Bernie Sanders recently did a webcast from his home, and people were shocked to see that in the background of his office was a Red Hot Chili Peppers poster and a Prince bass drum head.
Wow.
Hanging up on his wall.
Yeah. New power generation.
Wow.
Yeah.
I kind of get Prince because, Bernie Sanders is not sexy, so he probably went out and found the sexiest music to get into so he could sort of even out. But Red Hot, I guess they've been playing shows for him, fundraisers for him. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely.
It is the biggest striker.
No, they both have. Yeah. Yeah, but it's just
go ahead.
I love just that, it's like he has these people play his, that's how much he appreciates it. He may not like the music, but he's like, oh, those were very nice boys. But yeah, that's a nice poster. Put it up. That's very, it's celebrating. It's almost so typical Bernie where it's celebrating people that are in the fight with him as opposed to celebrating himself.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, no music news would during this time of pandemic would be complete without another entry in Tiny People Singing Red Hot Chili Peppers Songs.
Hello, yes, yes. Yeah. Sample massage. I don't believe it's bad. This year, take it all aside, take it all, take it all, not a people.
I love
that's so sweet.
I love these covers that are literally like almost pre-literate, or like they know the sounds of the words much better than they actually know what the words mean. And it's so much more interesting than somebody just actually singing the words. Because they're like, oh yeah, that what you said does sound like the song more than what I know the words are.
Well, that's great. Well, that's that's
send your quarantine covers in, please.
Yeah.
Send your quarantine covers.
Yeah, give us some quarantine covers.
Send them in.
Send them in. Send them. Neil, why aren't you going to give me any lyrics? She sold a cinnamon. Neil, you going to give me any? I send Neil songs and he says he won't rap over them. He won't sing over them, even though he asked for them. What's going on with that, Neil?
Oh, wow.
I get shy.
Come on. You get shy by yourself.
Neil still owes us. Neil still owes us the rap. Remember? Remember he was going to rap and then he bailed.
Yes, I do remember that.
Oh, I fucking lost that napkin that I wrote it all out on.
Are you sure you didn't sell it to Comedy Central?
I did. Bart Coleman gave me $10,000 for it.
All right, I got a closing song.
Catch. All right, that's great. It's a by a band we've played before and really enjoy.
The Hollywood Horses with their jam.
Yeah, they were on our end of the year. They were on our end of the year wrap up last.
They made the top. This is Library Book. Have a good week, everybody.
Thanks for listening. We did it.